We're past 10:45 officially. Are we? Okay. Are we ready? Staff, y'all ready? Good morning. Let me call to order the Police Judicial and Legal Committee of Mount Pleasant Town Council for this Monday, November 6th. Good to see everybody here. Glad you're here today. And item number two on our published agenda is approval of the minutes from the October 2nd meeting.
Move for approval, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All right, the minutes are approved. Item three is public comments. If you're here to make a public comment, please come forward, give name and address. And by ordinance, you have 2.5 minutes, and someone will let you know when that time is up. Thank you very much.
Good morning. My name is Brandon Fish. I work for the Charleston Jewish Federation, which is at 176 Krogan Spur Road in West Ashley. It's our understanding that today on the agenda for consideration is a hate ordinance. This is something we are very supportive of. Mount Pleasant has been a safe place for our Jewish community members and continues to be. But we have gotten a lot of calls over the past couple of months because of the incidents related to the Goyim Defense League and hate flyers that have been passed out to hundreds of homes in Mount Pleasant specifically. In consulting with our security professional, it's believed that towns are chosen by this group in part due to the status of hate intimidation ordinances and potential legal repercussions to their acts. And we believe that this person is not from Mount Pleasant, but chose Mount Pleasant. The city of Charleston has passed a hate intimidation ordinance, which would at least label this kind of behavior hate-related or hate intimidation motivated. Columbia, Greenville, and Bluffton have also passed ordinances. Florida just passed a law making it a felony to do this kind of thing. Under Governor DeSantis's leadership, but particularly in the Jewish community over the past few weeks, the ADL has documented a 388% increase in anti-Semitic incidents around the country. And people are feeling really unsafe no matter where they are. And here in South Carolina, we don't have a hate crime law. So in the absence of that, the focus has been the passage of municipal ordinances. Hate crimes that are not violent, like the kinds of crimes covered under city ordinances, account for about 70% of all hate-related crimes. So ordinances like this, although they don't necessarily have huge penalties attached to them, are an incredibly important factor for deterrence. Most of the people committing these kinds of petty crimes they're not full-time Nazis. They're not throwing their lives away. They work day jobs, and something like a hate ordinance or a hate charge is certainly more of a deterrent than littering. So thank you for your time.
Thank you. Anyone else for public comment? Going once? All right. Seeing none, we will close public comment. This moves us to item four, Police Matters, Employee Years of Recognition. Chief Arnold.
Good morning, Mayor, committee members. Officer Aton, please come forward. So this morning, we have the opportunity to recognize two of our employees for 5 years of dedicated service. Brett Aton joined the police department in November of 2018. He's currently in patrol. He's a member of our bike team, studying for a master's degree. He's a very dedicated, hardworking individual. He has he's one of our drug recognition experts. Not too long ago, you may have seen where he and another officer helped save a woman's life by recognizing that she had medical issues and wasn't under the influence of drugs or alcohol. So, just fantastic work, and I thank you very much for 5 years. I look forward to many more.
Thank you.
If I could ask Dan Eckert to come forward. So So Dan, this is Dan's second time receiving a 5-year report. Dan actually started in 2001 with Mount Pleasant Police Department as a dispatcher. He worked as a community service officer, a detective, supervisor. Took a bit of a break and went to work for the solicitor's office as an investigator down there. Has a unique set of insight and background into how that aspect of the criminal justice system works. So when he came back to the police department, we were very fortunate. I can't say enough about Dan in terms of his dedication to work. I can call him on a Friday night, a Saturday, and say, hey, I need this, and it's done just like that. It just happened. Thank you. Truly a wonderful supervisor. He's currently in a sergeant in an investigations unit and just does a tremendous job. So thank you for 5 years, aka 20 years of service.
I guess absolutely.
Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it.
That concludes item 4 on our agenda. Item 5 is judicial matters. There are no agenda items.
Okay.
And this brings us to item number 6, legal matters, exploration of a local hate intimidation ordinance. I think we all know Brandon did a good job talking about what's been going on publicly. We don't like being in the news for things like what has happened in our town, and we want to take a look at is there anything we can do that is constitutional, legal, and enforceable to provide greater security and to discourage these type of activity. So I want to say going out, we are all very aware of the complex constitutional legal aspects of this. We know that the state house passed a hate crimes bill, but it has not been made into law yet. It has not come through the Senate. And we do not anticipate a motion or something today that will be voted on next Tuesday, just because there's so much to scope out. But with the help of our legal counsel, if you'll sort of give us an overview, and then I'm sure committee members have a few things to share.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mayor, members of the committee. Thank you for that introduction. Thank you to the speaker. I probably am a little bit over the line in saying sometimes we get some incredible information from our citizens. And this is one of those issues where many of the correspondents really framed this very well. And you hopefully were able to read those and see. Just a general overview, the Federal Hate Crime Act is in place, has been in place. So that, I think the application of that, it has to be essentially across state, national borders, state lines, those types of incidents where federal jurisdiction is in place. As the mayor mentioned, South Carolina Bill H3014 did pass through the House, and it is a penalty enhancement for certain crimes that you can see in front of you. And again, as the mayor said, that did pass the House, and the term expired before it could go through the Senate. Our review of this does indicate that it is heading back that way. To the extent we can put some sort of odds or speculation, it does appear that this is likely to pass at some point. And it would have the effect, if passed, that it would supersede all or most of what many of the municipalities have in place. And there are some exceptions to that, which we'll cover. But again, it is a penalty enhancement, and it would apply to certain crimes. Again, pending in the General Assembly, it did pass on March 9th, and a favorable report from the Senate Judiciary Committee on March 29th. What have other municipalities in South Carolina, what have they done? The city of Charleston has hate intimidation. And again, it's based on intent to intimidate, based on actual or perceived race, color, creed, religion, ancestry, gender, sexual orientation, gender identity, physical or mental disability, or national origin. And again, this does run as an addition to penalties. Of course, at the municipal level, we are limited as to our penalties. 30 days jail, $500 fine. So you'll see that constantly throughout the municipal versions of hate crimes, hate crime ordinances. City of Greenville, again, very similar. A few additional sections. This does include the penalty provision. And again, you will see that $500 in 30 days in addition to authorization for restitution. This is just a little more comprehensive than the city of Charleston. I believe that the city was one of the first to pass it, and you've seen some, I don't want to say improvements, some additions and expansions as we've gone through time. The city of Columbia, again, very similar to what is in Greenville. And the town of Bluffton, again, very similar, fines and restitution. And some other jurisdictions. As many have pointed out, every state now, with the exception of South Carolina and Wyoming, have some form of hate crime legislation. Legislation does vary from state to state. And of course, as we just saw, at least minimally from municipality to municipality in South Carolina. Mayor, and I believe you read this, and the state of Florida has passed legislation that prohibits distributing material for purpose of intimidating or threatening the owner, resident, or invitee of a property. In my mind, that is somewhat different than the basic hate crime legislation. This has a very specific additional circumstance, which may not be covered by the general hate crime legislation. And I mentioned in the beginning that should the state move forward and pass the current bill, that it would likely supersede most of what municipalities have enacted. But this piece, at least the piece relating to the state of Florida legislation about distributing material, in all likelihood would not be addressed and has not been addressed by many of these local ordinances. So there is a depending on what is passed, and of course subject to judicial interpretation, there may be some benefit to adding a provision such as this that may not be covered by the state or federal law when the federal law is applicable. So that is the general overview. Glad to answer any questions or further the discussion.
Thank you very much. Committee members, why don't we sort of start? I'm sure there are a lot of questions and some ideas. So, yes, Ms. Wheeler.
So the one thing that seemed to be pretty uniform with the federal and sort of the state is that it tying to violent crime, right?
Yes.
Like, and that is something that is sort of beyond the scope of what a municipality can do. But I think something like littering, which is basically all that we could get someone on who is distributing this sort of material, having sort of an enhancement, a penalty enhancement on top of that, would be a useful deterrent in preventing this literature drop from happening again in our community. I think, you know, given that every state has passed some sort of hate crime legislation, that multiple municipalities have done this, I think that if we take a look at their language, that will help us sort of thread the line between, you know, protection of free speech, but also, you know, preventing these sort of hate crimes and intimidation from happening.
Mr. Chapman? Well, I was particularly interested to hear the title of the state bill referencing my friend Senator Pinckney. Senator Pinckney was instrumental in helping me get CARTA up and running. So I have a particular interest in working on that. And I'm surprised it's taken the Senate. I guess that's where you said the bill is held up, that the Senate hasn't come through getting that passed. And I think if it's that close, we need to be cautious to make sure whatever we do complies with that, so we don't have to come back and redo our ordinance. But it's certainly something that is, I think, needed and having been involved with all that went around the issue several years ago with Senator Pinckney's church. I'm surprised it hasn't been passed, and I would expect it will get passed this year. Thank you.
Councilman Ritchie.
Certainly. I spent a lot of time reading through some of the other ordinances, the federal ordinance, what other states have. And I have to remind myself, you know, I spent my entire life protecting and serving in communities. And took an oath to support, protect, and defend the Constitution. One of my first questions, as vile and disgusting as I think these flyers are, and other things that have come out, how is that protected by the First Amendment? Is it protected by the First Amendment? And if so, what's our responsibility to ensure that it meets constitutional muster? You know, having said that, we can dislike and hate the language that's out there, and it could be protected. But in the same sense, our residents have a right to feel safe in their homes and places of worship and should not have to fund their private property unwanted or unsolicited propaganda, flyers, or other communication, in my opinion. I keep hearing you talk about, in Mount Pleasant, the littering ordinance. We currently have a pretty robust handbill ordinance in place right now that if we chose to, these handbills that have been put on private property, it also covers vacant properties, public places. It covers all those different locations. If we wanted to enforce this respectfully now, if we had 200 flyers out and 100 people came forward with 100 victims saying, I didn't want these flyers on my driveways or my property, could we not make 100 charges of our handbill at $500 a piece and really hit these people with $500,000 fine for violating a current ordinance? So I'll ask that question to be sure in just a minute, and we'll come back. I heard about the federal hate crime law that covers the violence as it should, and hopefully our state law will. I just want to make sure whatever we do, and I am 100% behind a continuous conversation in protecting our friends and families in this community and the ones we took a note to protect. But I just want to make sure at the end of the day, what we do come up with is both constitutional and enforceable. Can you address any of those things for me?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Chief Ritchie. That is what you said is accurate. And, of course, the eye to which we review these. Your reference is to Chapter 136 of our code, which is our littering regulation. And we require, which is constitutionally permitted, some sort of security. And as Ms. Whitley mentioned, sort of littering is the way that historically municipalities have been able to enforce. To answer your question, yes, sir. If it is unsecured, if it is simply thrown out, despite, and I lend no credence to what the producers of this information have claimed legally, they're simply incorrect, and they have provided absolutely incorrect interpretation of U.S. constitutional law. So we're confident that the ordinances that you see from other municipalities, the state, are going to be held constitutional. The Florida statute that Florida passed, I think, is a little bit different because it relies on language such as intentionally dumping litter, but also harassment or intimidation. Sir, you as our former police chief understand, sometimes those have to be very fact specific and enforcement is always the question, but we do believe that that is an absolutely constitutionally valid way of further enforcing that ordinance. So we are confident. And again, I just want to make sure it's clear there is what I call the general hate crime ordinance in this case, as well as the additive of the prohibiting distribution of material with the intent and threatening harassment and intimidation. I think those are two different things.
Thank you.
I got a couple of questions. we were having a conversation earlier, and it's like there's a Second Amendment that protects your right to keep and bear arms, but the minute you point and present a firearm, as we had recently in the town of Mount Pleasant, you have crossed the legal line. You can walk down a sidewalk and look around your neighborhood, but when you step on somebody's property and peep in their window, that's voyeurism, right? And you're going to get arrested for that. So just the argument that any limitation on where you are able to project this hate speech or whatever is unconstitutional, I think, has been dispelled, right? You can stand at the foot of the bridge and shout your hate speech in public, and the town will protect your right to do that, as despicable as the content may be. But to me, when I think our citizens have a right to not wake up in the morning and find this targeted hate on their private property. Am I, if I'm errant there, dissuade me of that idea. So,
I mean, let's understand there categorically, there is a right to distribute and materials, and that part is correct.
Right.
Really, we are looking at the security of that, simply dumping these on.
Right.
It is secured, perhaps. That is, I think James is probably has done a good bit of the research as far as tying it to trespassing, I think, is one way that we could also do that.
Right.
I think that's to your point.
Okay.
But, you know, there is a fundamental right to speech. And as I said, it's not, we cannot bulldoze every and say everything is improper no matter what you do. But I do think, at least as we've reviewed it, as we've reviewed the state, as we've reviewed the local, and, you know, I keep pointing to this Florida because they have taken that extra step, and I believe they've done it well. Enforcement issues notwithstanding, the text we believe is constitutional.
Right. And what I'd like to see going forward, excuse me, is there a way, and it, would it be legal and constitutional, if somebody does a background check on somebody and it says they were cited for littering? I mean, that could be trash blowing out the back of your truck.
Right.
But to intentionally spread hateful and intimidating information, if that shows up in your background check, you're going to think twice about driving around Mount Pleasant and doing that kind of thing. But my question is, how do you legally make that distinction? And as we go forward, that's something I would like to get advice on and bring back and discuss. Because I think if somebody, you know, if your point, if 100 residents said, this was not supposed to be put in my driveway, and as you pointed out to me earlier, you're not allowed to put handbills under somebody's windshield wiper either on their car. But littering is one thing, but hate and intimidation, it robs you, without having a gun pointed in your face, of your sense of security, your freedom to enjoy your property, because somebody in the middle of the night, not publicly exercising their freedom of speech, you know, and being bold about it, does it in the middle of the night so that you find it in your driveway. So can we sort of look at those aspects? And I want council members to say what areas we would like, to look at our next meeting and consider. And I agree, we don't want to do something that we feel good about and then find out after the state law is passed that it's ours has been totally undone, right? So I'd like to get more familiar with the state bill and have you sort of give us maybe at our next meeting, you know, if we were to go in that direction where it is part of the handbill ordinance, but instead of a violation of that, somebody has on their record, you know, hate, intimidation, or whatever is legal, it raises it to a different category, I think.
Very good.
If it's legal.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Anybody else?
I'm fine with that.
Ms. Willie?
Do we need a motion from council to direct staff to act, or do you feel that this discussion is sufficient?
I believe this is sufficient for legal to prepare at least an ordinance that meets the general requirements, and that could serve as the jumping off point for further discussion.
Okay.
And we'll specifically address those issues that the mayor and others have raised.
And we'll put it on next month's agenda and bring it back.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Anything else before we move on?
No, sir.
6B would be executive session for an update on legal matters, and to be specific, BMIG LLC versus Town of Mount Pleasant and Deerline Green et al. Versus Mount Pleasant Waterworks, Town of Mount Pleasant in Charleston County. Do we have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Before we vote, after executive session, we may take action on any item, including any subsection of any section listed on an executive session agenda or discussed in an executive session during a properly noticed meeting. All in favor of going to executive session for the specific reason stated, please say aye.
Aye.
All right. The ayes have it. We are in executive session. We have reconvened from executive session. No votes were cast and no action was taken. Do we have any motions to result from the legal advice we received?
Yes, sir. On item 6BI, I would like to make a motion that we refer that issue to BOZA for final action.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Any other motion, please?
On item 6B2, I would like to recommend approval of a joint defense agreement in this matter to full council for Tuesday.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor of the motion to approve the joint defense agreement, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. The motion passes. And there being no further business, item 7 is to adjourn. This committee is adjourned.